And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church Radio broadcast already in progress.
Do you want to get well? Praise God. Do you really want to be changed? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever it is you're going through, do you really want to be changed? You see, as we look at this text and we ponder this question, do you really want to be changed? There are three things I want us to see this morning regarding this question. First of all, if you want to be changed, if we want to be changed, we must decide if we really want to be changed. I say that for this reason, because when Jesus saw him alive and he knew that he had been there for a very long time in that case, look what he said unto him. He said, wilt thou be made whole? You see, this seems to be a crazy question. But can I say something to you? God has never asked a foolish question. The reason he asked this question, praise God, it's obvious to me that he was trying to see where this man was. Praise God. He wanted to see, praise God, if this man really wanted to be changed. Now, the reason why I say all that, I'm gonna back it up. Praise God. He was asking this very, what I would call, serious question, because it is entirely possible that this man did not really want it to be made whole. Oh, yeah. There's a possibility. Praise God. Let me build my case. Can I build my case? Look at it. Praise God. For 38 years, this man had been a beggar. Praise God. He lived by and on the pity of other people. And if he is healed, praise God, he would lose all of this. Amen. Jesus did not look, praise God, at him and ask him, do you want any food or do you want any money? Because it was obvious, praise God, being at 38 years, he obviously had somebody that was taking care of his food requirement. Somebody was obviously taking care of his clothes, because he was not naked. Jesus did not ask him, praise God, if he wanted any money, did he? Praise God. No doubt, praise God, he had a few coins in his pocket. Praise God. He just could not walk, meaning that he could not go out and do any physical work for himself. Amen. Now, I have to say that, because today's, we could say that has been taken care of, because we got a whole bunch of folks who can't walk, but they can work. Praise God, because there have been some things that made for them, but that's due to change. But back in those days, they didn't have that. Amen. Praise God. But look at it. No doubt, praise God, he had a few coins. He just was not able to walk, which means that he could not work. And since he could not work, perhaps his begging was profitable. Praise God. It was bringing in just enough money that he had food to eat and clothes to put on his back. You see, by being healed, this man would be venturing out into an unknown. He would lose all the present securities. He would have to be, and he would have to be responsible for himself. Don't you know that there are some folk who don't want to have any responsibility whatsoever? Amen. It appalls me sometimes when I'm going to and from Walmart, and I see the various people that's on the side of the road as you turn in, and they know how to position themselves. They position themselves as you turn in and as you come out, and all of them got their little signs. And guess what? When I look at them, praise God, don't look like not one of them missed a meal. And when I look at them, it doesn't look like they need any clothes. And when I look at them, praise God, and I'll go right down the street, when I see a big old sign out there saying help wanted, it lets me know whether or not they really want their situations to change. By being healed, this man was going to be responsible for himself. He will have to find some work. He will have to be entering a whole new world. You see, after 38 years, he had accepted his condition. He was content now to just stretch out on his pathetic existence by begging. And being crippled was a help, because people felt sorry for him. Amen. I believe in helping people who need to be helped. But praise God, the question is this morning, did he really want it to be changed? Amen. You see, I see this man in many people today, some outside the church and some inside the church. Can I address those outside first? Praise God. You see, there are some who are outside the church. Their lives are sick with the things of this world. Some are sick by alcohol. Some are sick by drug addiction. Some are sick by greed and selfishness. Their lives are dysfunctional, but they have never considered that God's might have something for them to do. You see, they have learned to live the very way they are. In other words, they don't even know that there is something more to life. Can I remind anybody in here that don't know Christ that there is something more to life? Amen, than to sin. You see, they are not seeking God and calling out to him. It is as though they are sick and are not aware of it. Or if they are aware of it, it seems normal to them. Praise God. You see, this is how sin is. Sin never tells us the consequences. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, sin will never tell you the consequences. Praise God. The only thing sin will do is make itself appealing to you. My brothers and my sisters, as believers, we are not to give up on those who are still out there in sin. I have some in my family that are still in sin. I'm not going to give up on them. I'm going to continue to pray for them. We must continue to pray for them, and we ought to pray that God send witnesses, praise God, if they're not in our same town, praise God, that will be able to witness to them. But let me talk about those that are inside the church. Praise God. You see, there are some who live, praise God, whose lives are yet sick. Some are sick to unforgiveness. In other words, forgetting what the Bible says at Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Put that up on the marquee. It says, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Some are sick of revengefulness, forgetting what the Bible says at Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Put it up there so we can see it, where he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord. Some are sick by robbing God. Amen. Forgetting what the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. In other words, he asked the question, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, praise God, in what? In tithes and in offering. Some are sick by the lack of a prayer life, forgetting what the Bible says at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You see, Jesus' question to this man was not a strange question, not a crazy question, for if we really want to be changed, we must first decide, praise God, if we want to have change to take place in our life. Amen. Let me digress for a minute. If I'm a student in school and I'm making D's and F's, praise God, and I'm making those D's and them F's because I haven't decided that I want to make A's and B's. Because you can decide to make A's and B's. I know it can be done. I know what happened to me in the ninth grade. Praise God. I got my ninth grade report card, and I saw all them D's and F's look like I was flying the American flag. And I made a decision, and I'm serious about this. I said, I will never have another F or another D on my report card. And I was going to have very few C's. And after that first grading period, praise God, I did something. Praise God, I decided I wasn't going to have them F's anymore. So what did I do? I went home instead of looking at television. Back in them days, we didn't have that many television. We had marbles, praise God, where we went out and shot marbles. We had spinning tops. Well, we went out and spent all evening spinning top. I went home and I started sitting down, taking out my lesson, praise God, that the teacher had given me that day, and I went over that lesson. And not only that, I started reading ahead so that when she jumped on something else, that I would be prepared. If you want your life to be changed, you have to make a decision for that life to be changed, and then act upon it. But the second thing that you must do, we must decide not to continue making excuses. Turn to somebody and say, we got to stop. I hear enough people say that. I heard the two people over here. Let me walk down through here. You got to say, we got to stop making excuses. Now, I'm a military guy, and y'all know that. There's a saying that we have in the military. I won't say it out here because I know we're recording this. But if you want me to give you the military version of that, see me in my office right after, and I'll give you the military version of that. Praise God. You see, Jesus asked this man a question. Look at what he asked him. He said, wilt thou be made whole? Look at verse 7, what he says. He says, the impotent man answered him. Now, here is Jesus asking him a question. Praise God. Wilt thou be made whole? Look what he said. Sir, now I'm going to show you how many times he got me and I in there. I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the water. Praise God, when it is troubled. Praise God. But while I am what? Coming, another steps in before me. What was the question that Jesus asked him? Jesus asked him, do you want to be made whole? Didn't ask you about nobody putting you in the water. Didn't even mention the water. Didn't even mention the angel coming and stirring the water. He asked him one question. Would you like to be made whole? But this man just went about, amen, about what I couldn't do. What me couldn't do. Jesus already knew that. Because if you could have done something about it, you'd have done something about it 37 and a half years ago. Praise God. He asked him, do you want to be made whole? Praise God. And he's asking us the same questions today. Do we want to be made whole? But praise God, let's show you what this man, what he did. He came up with every excuse, praise God, that he can come up with. Amen. Don't you know that we ought to have run out of excuses for not serving God? Let me say that again. I heard that side. I didn't hear this side. Don't you know that we ought to have run out of excuses for not serving God? Every church in the United States ought to be packed today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. What's wrong with the world today? Praise God. We have become victims. Can I? Y'all don't mind if I stay there for just a minute? Praise God. I'm out of here in a little while. We all see ourselves as victims. Amen. I'm what is a victim? See, a victim is somebody who makes up excuses for where they are in life. Amen. You see, victims endlessly repeat how they have been mistreated. Can I see anybody in here today who have not been mistreated in their life? Oh, by God, some people who haven't. That's good. Praise God. I've been mistreated. Praise God. But let me tell you what another thing a victim does. See, a victim, praise God, live by the childish notion that life should always be what? Fair. How many of y'all know that life is not fair? Huh? Amen. No, it's not. No, it's not. Somebody say, and don't let me get this victim thing where I have some of these folks talking about, well, I didn't ask to come here. I want to see the person in here right now who asked to come here. Show me that person. Praise God. Not only that, victims find that it difficult to forgive others because they see forgiveness as a sign of weakness. Those are victims. There is nothing wrong, my brothers and my sisters, with us walking up to somebody, praise God, especially when we know we done wronged them. Instead of saying, praise God, man, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? That's not a sign of weakness. Man, that's a sign of strength. It takes a strong man or woman to admit that they are wrong and then to ask the other person to forgive me. Praise God. Victims have difficulty maintaining close relationships because they have difficulties trusting other people. Now, I figured it was going to get quiet right there. Because we live in a world today. Can I tell you something? We all gonna have to put our trust in God, but also in some of our. I put my trust in a. There's a whole bunch of folk in here today. Just about everybody in here today. I put my trust in you. Praise God. I put my trust that you're not going to go out and just run my name down in the ground. I really do. And you need to put your trust in me that I'm not going to run your name down in the ground. There are some folk, if they see you, coming out of a certain place, their minds immediately go. Was that Sister Collins them that laughed over there? Their minds immediately go to the wrong thing. I'm talking about immediately. If I see you walking out a certain place, I'm not, and even if I do, and even if I did know you were in there, pulling that. Taking God's money that he's allowed you to work for, to trying to double it. Even if I saw you in there doing it, guess what? I'm going to keep that to myself. There ain't nobody can sit out here today in the church and say, well, I heard Pastor Martin run nobody down. You ain't gonna, that don't come out of me. Somebody tell me something that's confidential. It's going to stay confidential. But we got too many. The reason why people don't like to put trust in nobody because, like Flip Wilson used to say, loose lips sink the ship. Somebody tell you something in confidentiality and you can't even wait until the phone hangs up. Victims, I'm talking about, we got to get out of the habit, praise God, of making excuses. If we want to have our lives changed, we cannot continue to make excuses, praise God, for why things are the way they are. My life is the way of life because of the way I was brought up. Didn't have no mama. Didn't have no daddy. Didn't have this, didn't have that. I'm a serial killer because I'm sitting here and facing life without the possibility of parole because they made me pick cotton when I was young. I'm in the predicament that I am because it's somebody else's fault. Instead of standing up, I tell sometimes, man, Christians ought to be able to take Jonah's attitude at least one time. Jonah said, y'all want this storm to stop? I ain't blaming it on the coxswain. I'm not blaming it on the captain. Man, I'm the problem. You want this storm to stop? Throw me overboard. Stop making all of these excuses. 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 You see, it is only when we stop making excuses that we discover that we have the power and the ability to be what we want to be. Look what Paul writes at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I need you to put this on the board because I don't want nobody to think that that's just in my Bible. Look what Paul says. He says, now unto him that is able to do what? Exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh on the inside of us. Don't you know that we are born again believers in Christ Jesus? There is a power that works on the inside of us called that dunamis Holy Ghost power. Praise God. And with that power, we can do all things. Praise God. Because that power that works on the inside of us gives us the opportunity not to make excuses. Don't blame this one for that. Don't blame that one for that. Praise God. God has given every last one of us equal opportunity. Somebody say, oh, no, it's not. I don't read about history. Yes, he did. He gave everybody a head, two arms, five fingers, two legs, two feet, and a torso. That's equal opportunity. Amen. Amen. And I know I'm not naive enough not to realize that back in the day, some of our ancestors, our forefathers, even some of our parents, praise God, did not have the opportunity to go to school. I know that some of our parents, praise God, school wasn't important to them. So they wouldn't even allow their kids to go to school. Wouldn't allow them. They wanted them to work. Praise God. Now, I understand that. When I look at these young folks today, you don't have that, you don't have that excuse. I haven't seen nobody out in the field picking no corn like I did when I was a boy. I've seen none of y'all pick no okra like I had to get out and pick. I ain't seen none of y'all get out and chop no sugar cane like I had to do when I was young. And we had to do that to live. Praise God. Not just to go have something to put on our own table. That was food that we had to take to the cannery factory. Amen. Y'all didn't have to pick no butter beans like I did when I was coming up as a little old boy. Every Tuesday and Thursday, sometime on Saturday, so that them beans wouldn't rot in the field. And I told you, man, them rows that my grandfather, he had no limitation in his mind when he was following them field. Man, them rows looked like they were from here to New York. And we had to get out there and get it. Guess what? I didn't blame. If I didn't have something, I didn't blame nobody else. Because my grandfather, although he could not read his name on a neon sign, he taught me a lesson when I was a little boy. He taught me a lesson. He called me Junior. He said, Junior, don't ever owe a man nothing. That is a principle that I have lived with all of my life. That's why I tell people it's so important. If you borrow something from somebody, give it back to them. Too many friendships fall out because people borrow money from folk and then don't pay it back. And some people get sophisticated with it. They go borrow your money and then you see them riding in a brand new car and they haven't paid you yet. They borrow your money, you see them in a brand new suit. You'll walk up to him, take my suit off. And he'll wave at you. Hey, wait. Man, where am I thousand dollars?
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 7,000-watt voice of the community, KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.